Well, good morning. And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. I can say a hearty yay and amen to what Amos said. Mom always had, it seemed like I was always on her lap. It seemed she had a knack for caring for each one of us. And you'd think with 16 of us, there wouldn't have been enough lap to go around. And she wasn't a big woman, so there wasn't much lap. She had a special way of making sure that each of us children thought we were the favorite one. In fact, years I operated under the delusion that I was the favorite child until we grew up and got to talking with siblings in a serious way and found out that each of us thought we were the favorite one of Mom. But I'm sure of one thing. Out of all of them, I'm the favorite son, I'm sure. Okay, bad joke. We had a good mom. And my timekeeper sitting beside me said it was 11 years, Amos. Well, they conflated out. Well, enough of that. Happy Mother's Day to you ladies anyhow. Well, this morning being Mother's Day, we're going to talk about women, okay? Is that all right with you? Yes? No? Everybody's kind of, we don't know what he's going to talk about, so we're not going to go there. We're going to, title of the message is Woman of Valor. And we're going to talk about Woman of Valor out of Proverbs 31. How many of you ever heard a message out of Proverbs 31? Very few. Wow. Maybe we fell down on the job. That could be for several reasons. As I think about it, I think Proverbs 31 may challenge our traditional view of motherhood, what that means. There's some other things, but I'm not going to go in there. How many women, I'm just going to maybe not even frame this as a question, but I'll frame it as a question without wanting a response. How many women cringe at the thought of, again, going through a passage like Proverbs 31 and being reminded again of what perfection is. What perfection is pictured in this passage. And knowing that perfection is simply not attainable. And yet, Elvin's going to stand up there and go through and show us what perfection is. See, a tendency as people has been to reduce womanhood down to a list that can be checked off, right? You should get up before daylight, and you should work till after dark, and you should make all the clothes in the family, and you should be a businesswoman. And we'll read this after a while. But we've kind of reduced it down to a checklist, right? A checklist that we can check off that kind of measures the stature of our wives, and maybe women looking at yourself. Measure yourself to the Proverbs 31 woman. Well, this morning, I don't want to do that. Yes, it's good for us to look at Scripture. It's good for us to pick out the principles that are in there. It's good to read Scripture, see what God's heart is, what His standard is. And we do need to strive towards the standard that God has set out. Okay, we need to do that. But we don't need to do it as a checklist. And as we strive, we have to keep in front of us that we know we'll fall. We're not perfect. But we have to understand that when we fall, then we have the opportunity to rely on God's grace to carry us through. But what I want to do this morning is not necessarily go through the passage and hold up God's standard for you women to compare yourself to. And far be it from me to do this so the men hold this up and say, see what you're not attaining to, see what you should be, and you're not. I don't want that this morning either. I want to go in a little bit different direction, if that's okay. Let's read Proverbs 31 together. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll be starting at verse 10. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. And this is kind of I don't know, the key verse maybe, if you want to pick something out. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? Just talk that in your mind as we go through that. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? Stand for the reading of God's word, please. Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not even evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also raises while it's still night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have gone well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in her gates. Father in heaven, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in this passage, in this sermon this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You can sit down. First of all, let's look at who this proverb is written to. Don't close your Bibles yet. Look chapter 31, the first words, the first verse. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance of which his mother taught him. So the first thing we want to see that it's written to King Lemuel. We don't know for sure. Nobody knows for sure. There's a couple different schools of thought, but one of the schools says that his mother was Queen Bathsheba, the wife of King David. So that's who it was written to. So that's very important as we go through this. This morning I want to show us four things that you may not know about Proverbs 31. Okay, four things. Here they are. Proverbs 31 is a poem. How many of you knew that? There's a preacher knows that, yep. Number two, the target audience was men. Did you know Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 was targeted to men? Nobody knew that. I didn't either until I started reading this. Proverbs 31 celebrates valor. And Proverbs 31 is a picture of the bride of Christ. How many of you knew that? Wow, we all are going to learn something this week. Okay. Proverbs 31 is a poem. Now, remember, this was taught to the king. He was taught this from child up on his mother's lap. And what he did, again, some of this is conjecture, but what he did then later in life is he arranged this poem in a way that it could be memorized easily. He arranged it in a certain format that would be useful for people coming after him, following generations, to memorize it as well. Let me show you something, okay? Now, remember, this was a poem. Hopefully we can, I don't know if you can read that or not. But not only is it a poem, but it's an acrostic. You know what an acrostic is, right? You know what an acrostic is? Okay, an acrostic is where the first letter of each sentence starts with a certain, the first word of each sentence starts with a certain letter. And the way this poem is written is that each verse starts with a certain letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If it was a English alphabet, it would start with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You get the picture? So the verse 10 was an A, and then B and C, Of course, it was Hebrew, and I can't read Hebrew, so, but you have it up there. So this was written as a poem, an acrostic, so that way it could be used, be useful and easy and to memorize. This poem, like I said, celebrates a woman of noble character. It's a poem, it is acrostic, it celebrates the woman of noble character. It's simply a poem that praises the everyday achievements of an ordinary Jewish woman. Okay? An ordinary Jewish woman who keeps her household functioning smoothly, day and night, smoothly as she could. It celebrates the accomplishments of a Jewish woman that does buying, trading, planting, sowing, managing servants, et cetera, whatever all is in there. So the first thing we saw is that it's a poem that celebrates women, the accomplishment of women. It praises women. Second, it's a poem that the target audience is men, not women. That came as a surprise to me as I started digging into this. I was going to go a completely different direction until I thoroughly started digging into the history of this. Target audience is men, not women. What do I mean? Well, look again at Proverbs 31:1. The words of King who? Did they have women kings? Okay, so it was written to King Lemuel, or this were his words, but it's the utterance which his mother taught him. So it's a poem written from a woman to a man. Imagine that. Imagine if you go to a men's seminar and Proverbs 31:10-31 was taught. You'd think it's strange, wouldn't you? But it's from a woman to a man. Aside from this fact of it being from a woman to a man, a mother to a daughter, do you understand, probably not because a lot of things were unknown this morning, but do you, in today's Jewish, traditional Jewish families, it is still the men, not the women, that memorize this poem. It's a tradition in Jewish families for the men to memorize Psalms or Proverbs. Did I say Psalm? Proverbs 31:10-31. And here's an interesting fact. Maybe we should do it this morning. It's still tradition in traditional Jewish households to this day, for every Sabbath, at I think it's the noon meal, for the husband to sing this proverb over the wife and mother and daughters and the females in the household. Don't believe me? I got a video to prove it. So just think, listen to the words, but imagine singing this over your wife.
A woman of valor who can find she's worth far more than a gold mine. Her husband's heart trusts in her, and he shall lack no treasure. She's good to him, never does him wrong. Every day, her whole life long, she searches for wool and flax. Her hands make up for all she lacks. Like a merchant ship is she, bringing food from across the sea. While it's still night, she'll rise from bed, make sure her whole household gets fed. She pictures a field, buys the land, and plants a vineyard from the fruit of her hands. Strength is wrapped around her waist. With courage, both her arms are braced. She takes that her trade is good. Her light is not snuffed out even at night. Sends a hand to the wheel spinning. Spools of thread into linen. Spreads a palm to the poor man. And to the needy, she lends her hand. She has no fear for her house of stone. Her family's dressed in the warmest clothes. She's made blankets for her bed. Her clothes are soft and crimson red. At the gates, her husband's a well-known man who sits with the elders of the land. She sells a scarf that she made herself and puts her goods on the market shelf. Dressed with strength and dignity, she laughs at what may come to be. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The ways of a household she can guess. She eats no bread of laziness. Her children rise and make her proud. Her husband praises her out loud. Many daughters rise to the call, but you've risen above them all. Grace is false, beauty's a phase. Let the woman who fears God be praised. The fruit of her hands is all she needs. She'll be praised at the gates by her own deed. Yeah, grace is false, beauty's a phase. Let the woman who fears God be praised. The fruit of her hands is all she needs. She'll be praised at the gates by her own deed.
Okay, we don't normally rap in this church, but I thought it was appropriate this morning. I just wanted to show you kind of, I mean, that's Jewish, but they're still trying to follow the Old Testament. And so they're doing what's traditional. I'm trying to show you that this poem was written to the male audience. Still not convinced? Well, if you do just a really light, cursory reading or a study, you'll discover that there's only the only instructive language in this portion of Scripture is to who? Take a guess. It's to the men. Look at what this says. Proverbs 31:31. It's the only instructive language in this poem or in this portion of Scripture. It says, give her. Pretty instructive, isn't it? It's kind of like a command. Give her. Give her what? Give her the reward of her labor. And then it says, her works will praise her in the city gates. So if the men, if us as men, give our wives and women in our lives the rewards of her labor, which is simply giving them the praise they deserve. Wow. A portion of Scripture that is aimed instructively to men. It's instructing us. It's aimed instructively to men. We have, I don't know if by accident or whatever, turned it around into a prescriptive command for women. You know, our society has used it to show what the ideal lifestyle for a perfect woman is, right? We often hear, in fact, there is a whole raft of ministries have been built. Books and literature and ministries have been built on Proverbs 31. Not saying it's wrong, and yet I think it misses the point of the proverb. And I want us men to sit up and take notice. So we've noticed that it's a poem, that the target audience is men. Now I want us to show that it's celebrating valor. Valor. What does valor mean? Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Now, what is valor and what is virtue? Here, valor was translated virtuous here, but what is valor? Valor is an old word. You don't hear it much anymore. But it's an old word that meaning boldness or determination. Determination in facing great danger, especially in battle. It's heroic courage and so on. That's what valor is. Virtuous was, and valor is translated out of this word in the Hebrew. It's also translated in different parts of Scripture as excellent, worthy, good, noble, and of course valor. And then you see the two words down below that I can't pronounce. And that's really how Proverbs 31:10 would read in the English. It would say, who can find those two words, eshet, chow, or whatever, which means a woman of valor. Who can find a woman of valor? So, valor. We're celebrating valor. Here's how it should read. Who can find a virtuous wife? Or the Hebrew word there, a woman of valor. Who can find her? Who can find her? That's what this proverb is celebrating. In fact, if you do some study in Jewish history, and I haven't done a lot, but a little bit. The women in Jewish circles especially will use this term as a blessing to each other. A blessing celebrating an accomplishment or as an encouragement to persevere. A celebration of accomplishing something like college or whatever. It's kind of like the modern phrase we hear sometimes of when a woman is encouraging other women, or sometimes even men to women. But it's like, you ever heard the phrase, "You go, girl"? That's kind of what this is. Or in Hebrew circles, that's kind of what they're saying. They say those two words to each other as an encouragement. You know, the woman in Proverbs 31 is not the only woman in the Bible to receive this high praise of woman of valor. There's several women did. Now, we often think of Proverbs 31 in the terms of wife, mother, and things like that. Well, did you know that the widow Ruth got this same term, phrase, said about her? I think I have that up here. Yeah. Boaz said this about her. Said, all the people in my town know that you are a woman of noble character, or a woman of valor is how it should be translated out there. You can also turn to Sarah, Deborah, Esther, Mary, Martha, Priscilla, Phoebe, and Tabitha for this said about them being a woman of valor. And I would say to you men, you can also look right beside you for the woman of valor. Men, let's use this proverb to bless our wives. You may not sing it over her, but you can pick things out of it to bless your wife with. Let's do it. They deserve it. So we looked at these three things. Now the last thing I want to look at is Proverbs 31 is a picture of the bride of Christ. The picture of the bride of Christ. You know, Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 speaks of a woman of valor. And that's easy to pick out because that's the language that's used there. But it's really an example of how the bride of Christ should be and act and function. In the Old Testament, God's people were often referred to in the female sense, right? You remember Hosea? His wife was represented Israel. In fact, in the New Testament, if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and on, it talks about wives submitting to their husbands, and the husbands should love their wives, and the wives should respect their husbands, and it goes on down there. It talks about husbands loving their wives as their own body, and on that. But then in verse 31 it says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So it goes on and talks about this relationship between the husband and wife. But what struck me a number of years ago was this verse, 32. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, which is the bride. So it's not that big of a jump to think of Proverbs 31 as being wrote about the bride of Christ, is it? Let's pick out some traits here. Character traits of a godly bride. Now, I don't want you to just, men especially, don't look at your wives and say, okay, this is what she should be. Think about in terms of, because these things are picked out of Proverbs 31, think of it in terms of what the church should be. The church should be faithful. You men, you expect your wives to be faithful, right? I would hope so. You expect to be able to trust your wife, right? She's not going to do anything to hurt you. What about the church? You shall have no other gods before me. God expects his church, his bride, to be faithful. Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. God expects that out of his people. We expect that out of our brides, right? Our bride, singular. You don't expect her to have two, three multiple loves in her life. You should be the only one. It's reasonable to expect that. What about fruitfulness? If you read down through Proverbs 31, she was industrious and it produced fruit, right? buys a field, plants a vineyard, gathers a fruit. She makes quilts. She makes clothes. She does things like that. What about the church? Should we be fruitful? Romans 12, 11 to 13 says we shouldn't be lagging in diligence. We should be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is all action words, not lagging. Serving, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing what? To the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I'm not sure if this falls in anywhere else in my notes here, but distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, helping the poor. Remember Proverbs 31 says she feeds the poor and things like that? What's one of the missions of the church? Is taking care of the needy among us. Thessalonians 4:11, that you aspire to lead a quiet life and mind your own business and to work with your hands. Be fruitful. Honor, characteristics of a godly bride, character traits of a godly bride. Honor, Proverbs 31:23 says this, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Where did he get his honor? Back then, the honored people, the people of influence, sat in the gates. They had the elders. That's where the elders met. And it says the Proverbs 31 woman, her husband's going to sit in the gates. Who gave the honor? It was the bride gave the honor to the husband. Think about this. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever. Amen. What about 1 Timothy 6:1? Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their master worthy of all honor. Why? So we should act in a certain way that brings glory to honor to God. Why? So that the name of God and His doctrine might not be blasphemed. So, did you know that the way we operate and the way we act and the way we conduct business, conduct our lives, can bring dishonor to not only the name of God, and it didn't, I never saw this before until today. It says, so that the name of God and His doctrine. You know, we can bring reproach and dishonor to God's doctrine. Didn't do anything with that, but it just struck me that it's not just God we're dishonoring, but honoring His Word, dishonoring His Word. Just like the Proverbs 31 woman, or just like our bride, can bring dishonor to us or honor to us, the same way you as women can dishonor. Same way you women can dishonor or bring honor to us is the same way the bride of Christ can bring honor or dishonor to His name. Honor. Character trait. Again, talks about honor. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the city. You know that little limerick you've often, I'm sure you've heard it, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. There could be nothing more true than that if you stop and think about, especially in light of Proverbs 31. And you can even do it as, this morning in our class out here, the young people were asking me questions, and one of them came up about, how do I say this, about the headship order and how women or men are supposed to function. And even as a person that's being ruled, okay, quotation marks. I don't have to go into the whole discussion of time. But even as the person that's under her husband, you have a lot of power in the way you treat your husband. Because Proverbs 31 says, if you do good and not evil all the days of her life, if you do him good and not evil all the days of her life, your husband will be known in the city gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Like, women, that's a lot of power. A lot of power. To either raise, build him up, or to tear him down. Honor. Honor your husbands. Honor the men in your life. Wisdom. Proverbs 31:26 says, when she opens her mouth, Out comes wisdom. That's my paraphrase. You know, again, women, you can either build your husband up publicly or you can tear him down with the words of your mouth. Use wisdom. Proverbs 31, think about that. When you open your mouth, speak wisdom. Use wisdom when you open your mouth. It says, and on the tongue is the law of kindness. James 3, 15 to 17 says, this wisdom does not transcend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Okay, this is wisdom. Talking about, again, to the ladies right now. Think about when you open your mouth. Is it pure? Is it peaceable? Is it gentle? Is it willing to yield? Is it full of mercy? Does it produce good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy? I wonder. The last character trait is holiness. Proverbs 31, 30 to 1. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her. You know, a woman's godliness comes from a deep relationship with Jesus. I should have said back to on wisdom, the same way that a woman can take us up or down with what comes out of her mouth is the same way we can bring, again, dishonor to Jesus by the way the church talks about each other and to each other. So holiness. A godly woman's holiness comes from a deep relationship with Jesus, pure and simple. A woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Some do many things to try and get praise. And that's what Proverbs 31 is saying here. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. The implication is that's not where your focus should be. Many women do many things to get praise. But says, the woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. What about the bride of Christ? Don't we do many things to try and please the Lord? We have fundraisers and we do school and we do this and we do that. And yet, it's the fear of the Lord that brings praise. The fear, not that we're scared of him in that sense. I don't have time to explain all what the fear is, but even in your families, it's good for your children to have a certain element of fear. Fear really is, well, knowing what the consequences are of my deeds, that type of fear. Do we fear the Lord? Is that where our worth comes from? First Peter 1:15-16, but as he who has called you is holy, as the same way that the one who called us is holy, Jesus, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Your relationship with the Lord should then flow out and produce the fruit. Who can find a virtuous woman, a virtuous wife? Can you imagine this conversation even going on in heaven between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Where can we find a virtuous wife? And then they called out the children of Israel. And of course, you know how that story all goes. But who can find a virtuous wife? Will we as a church be that woman of valor that Jesus Christ called? I know it's Mother's Day, but Proverbs 31 to me is a picture of the bride of Christ. Brothers, if you have a woman in your life, and you do, everybody has a mother, some of them passed away, sister, mother, wife, if you have one of those in your life, you have something that's valuable. This passage says, for her worth is far above rubies. Rubies is, at least was, I don't know if it still is, one of the most valuable gems that you can have. And yet the Bible says, if you find a virtuous wife, her worth is far above rubies. In fact, she's going to provide for you. She's going to take care of you. She's going to give you value in the public sector. She's worth more than anything else on this earth. Do you value her? Do you value your wife? When is the last time you told her? Well, I don't know, but I want you to think about that. When is the last time you told your wife that you value her, that she is worth more than you pick the issue? So this morning we have some roses up here, and we're going to do something a little bit different. In light of what we just talked about, we're going to leave the children out of giving out the roses this morning. I'm going to ask the husbands to come up and get a rose for your wife. Now, if you're here as a woman and you don't have a husband here, for whatever reason, just hang tight. You're not going to be forgotten. But we'll take care of that then. But for right now, we're going to ask the husbands to come up. Jeremy's going to play that other. I have another video. It's actually the same proverb being sung over, but it's in Hebrew, so you won't understand it. It's just kind of something, a background. But yeah, if you watch, the words will be up there. But I want the husbands, as that's playing, to come up and get a rose. We're going to all stand up. And I want you to take it back to your wife, and I don't want this to just be plastic and just give it to her. But I want you to tell her that you value her, if you do. If you don't value her, then don't tell her. Just give her the rose. But then I want you to do something else. I want you to pray over your wife this morning. I want you to actually pray over your wife. The music will be playing so nobody else will hear it. Jeremy can even turn it, or Harold can turn it up a little bit if he wants to. But I want you to pray over her this morning. Is that okay? Everybody, like, is that okay? Okay. Let's pray, and then Jeremy, you can start the video, and husbands, you can come get the rose. Now, Father in heaven, we come to you again this morning. Thank you, God, for your word and the principles we can pull out of it this morning. I pray, God, that I would not have stepped outside the purpose of your scripture. If I did, Father, would you bring it to mind or even have someone challenge it? And because I don't want to do anything that's outside of your word, God. But I would pray that you would take this proverb and use it for your honor and glory. God, I pray for each marriage here. God, would you put your hedge of protection around each marriage? God, I know the devil is working hard to destroy the family, which is the foundation of society. And so, God, would you help us protect them, fight against that, and fight for it. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.